He left off yesterday. Yesterday we had a small amount of time for shiur. He left off yesterday at a little bit of a cliffhanger. We had seen a major stira between two gemaras, both in Masachas Brachos, that Rishonim raised. And we began to look at the ways in which they resolve them. And this discussion will bring us back as well to one of the major issues in the world of chinuch, that the Tosfos Yeshanim in Yuma Daf Pei Beis raises. So let's take a look again. What was the stira? Two gemaras and Masachas Brachos. On the one hand, on the other hand. Yeah, on the one hand.
On the one hand, you can't count out, you can't be mostly a deraita for a hero to derabanan. But on the other hand, the other Brachos, we said that Kazan is able to, that Shimon ben Shadak is able to Motzei, Yana, and Malach, who had a full meal, whereas he only had his desires, even though he was the Shimon ben Shadak and Yana is.
Gevaldik. Gevaldik. The core question is, we have a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that's clear, but how exactly do you apply it? That's ambiguous. The Mishnah says, if I am potter for a mitzvah and you are a chayiv, I cannot be motzi you. That's clear. The question is, how does it work when the motzi is potter min ha-Torah for chayiv midrabanan? I'm chayiv in mitzvah midrabanan, you're chayiv in the mitzvah min ha-Torah. So what should we say? Should we say, well, we're both chayiv in the mitzvah? Jais Rabbanan, whatever, both chayiv mitzvah. So I came out to you. Or should we say no? Lemasa, we're both chayiv, but in principle, on level of daraisa, I'm pater and you're chayiv, right? And what were the two cases in point? One was a katan who needs to bench, but presumably only midrabbanan mitam chinuch. And can he be motzi the gadol? That was the case that the Gemara was discussing on Daf Chaf on Beis and Maseches Brachos. Another case was a Jew who ate, who had a bite of bread to eat. A fellow had a half a slice of pizza. Half a slice of pizza is definitely kazayis dagan. For the vast majority of people, half a slice of pizza is not kidei severe. Not enough to be full. That's not a supper. Half a slice of pizza. But on the assumption that pizza is a regular pasta rather than pasta over kissing, a good discussion for a different time. To take a less exciting example, you had a half a slice of bread. A slice of bread. Get a slice of bread, right? And then you stop. You're going to have a whole sandwich, and whatever, it fell on the floor, whatever happened. Well, mice, you have a slice of bread, you're done. Slice of bread is a kazayis of dagan, but it's not kidei sevia. Maybe three slices of bread would be kidei sevia. The discussion before. One slice of bread is not kidei sevia. But kazayis it is. You've all seen an olive, right? And a slice of bread is certainly more than kazayis. So, can I, I'm chayiv to bench, and so are you. But min ha-Torah, I'm not chayiv to bench. So should we say, look, a level of deraisa, I'm part of your chayiv, so how could I possibly mote to you? Which has a certain logical appeal. I think, logically, if I asked you, you know, a priori, prima facie, without looking at any makaros, but knowing that there's an idea in the Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah, of the eni mechuyi b'davar, I imagine most of us would have said, what would you have said? I'm chayv midrabanan. Can I motzi someone's chayv in the Torah? Give me one finger if you think yes. Give me two fingers if you think no. And it looks like the two's have it. Right? But look, I'm in the Torah. What do you mean? I'm chayv. I'm in the Torah. I'm pater. On the level of Doraisa, I'm pater. You're chayv. So was it help that Chazal made me chayv midrabanan? I mean, it helps. I have to do it. But it can't, offhand you would think, it can't introduce a kula. It can't be makel. Because of the din rabban min ha-Torah, the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, I would not be benching, or unless I'm volunteering, you would be benching. So, min ha-Torah, I'm part of your chayiv. End of story. Lich ora. L'maisa, it's a steer in Gemaras. Whatever you would have thought, so if that's what you, if you raise two fingers toward pater, so gevaldik, that's a Gemara in Brachas Davchach. The katan cannot be most of the gadol's chayiv min ha-Torah. What do you do with our Gemara Dav Memches, Yana HaMelech, where we learned that Rabbi Abba quotes his father's Rebbe, his father's Mechir Bar Abba, and this Mechir Abba's Rebbe is Yochanan, who said, because I stop going to do it. And specifically Rabbi Abba, as Rashi points out, Rabbi Abba is, we don't necessarily know what the original context of Yochanan was, but we do know that Rabbi Abba is applying Rabbi Yochanan to the story of Yanai v'Chaverav. And the story of Yanai v'Chaverav, so again, the Bahaget said, maybe Yanai also only had a kazais. That was answer number one. There's no stira, because our Gemara and Gemara Meches is irrelevant, because it's not really the same type of case. Everyone had a kazais. And Yana and Rashi says, that's unlikely. Yanai v'Chaverav only had a kazais, they didn't have kesviya, a royal meal? How likely is that? So once Rabbi Abba has applied Rabbi Yochanan's memra to the story of Yanai, it sounds like we're talking even a case where they had a kidei sevir. So it's a legitimate, so that was the first teretz of the Bahag, Rashi Rei rejects it. Rashi himself, teretz number two, what did Rashi say? The Bahag sort of says, there is no stira. You misread the Gemara, there is no stira. Right? Then Rashi and Tosfos are both going to discuss, assuming there is a stira, so which is the rule and which is the exception? Is it fundamentally one or fundamentally two? Should I say fundamentally, Mechuyiv Drabanan can be Motzi Mechuyiv Me'atorah, and the Gemara here is Melches is the rule, and Yapis Davcha for some reason is an exception? Or should I say, no. Fundamentally, Mechuyiv Drabanan cannot be Motzi Mechuyiv Me'atorah. The Gemara Davcha, that's the rule, and somehow our Gemara is the exception. That's what they're trying to figure out. So let's open up and let's take a look. Nasi Sefer Benechzi. But again, Dav Chaf was the case of the cotton to the double, and we said you cannot be Motzi. Right? And Chesam Aleph was a case of the Kazayas to be Motzi Yanai, and we said you could be Motzi. Right? The first teretz was the Bahag, who said that it was kazayas to kazayas. And really, what the Gemara and Brachas say, what the Gemara and Davchav said, that's the rule. And this is really kazayas. Yana also only ate a kazayas, so it's not really even relevant. Okay, that was the Bahag. So, let me take a look at Rashi. Most Rashi, say. And Rashi daf mem ches amal.
Wait, this,
and this isn't even an exception. It says you misunderstood the Gemara. But if you understand the Gemara properly, it's not even talking about. Not even talking about this case. Yeah, that's the Bahad. Yeah, was Rashi said? No problem. Rashi said, Joh, Kazai is dug, and let's look inside the Yoh, Kazai is dug, and Niha. Once, however, you do eat a Kazai is dug, Mopit, you could be Motzi, Afagat, the Kazai is dug, and Shirabanu, the one who ate the Kazai. Had Shimon and Shetach eaten one slice of bread, then Rabbi Abba would have been ready to sign off on Shimon and Shetach be Motzi Yam. Even though Shimon and Shetach is the only Chayv Jabanan, as the Gemara says on the bottom of Dav Chafurim. Right? We saw the two different important. Two different relevant lines in the Pachor Beis. We're talking about the middle, but the bottom Rashi quotes, the Gemara says, but Feirish, Minatori only chayv kedei sevia, kazayis kebeitza, that's only benching drabanan. Right? Rashi here begins the critical line. Mihu kevan de michayv drabanan, mechuyiv bedavar karinim bit. O motzi rabbi midei chalbasa. Being mechuyiv drabanan is enough to be called mechuyiv. Well, Rashi didn't quote it, obviously, we're all thinking about that Mishnah Rosh Hashanah that we spoke about yesterday, when we spoke about just a couple moments ago, and that's the source of everything. There is a concept of Mechuyiv B'davar versus Ein Mechuyiv B'davar, and Rashi says, clearly, Mechuyiv Drabanan is called Mechuyiv B'davar. So the rule is, yes, Mechuyiv Drabanan can be Motzi Mechuyiv B'davar, according to Rashi. Ayin to Omar, Mekan Shigil Chin Olam. Ay, what do you do with the Gemara and Dav Chaf Beis, where that's not the case? Ahu, afil midrash baral mechayev, dalei de'avua hu deramo lechamuchet. Rashi says, sort of what the Bahag said in reverse. Rashi says, no. Gemara and Dav Memches Yanai, that's the rule. Mechuyiv b'davar ki motzi, mechuyiv drabanan can be motzi mechuyiv me'atorah. Ay, the Gemara and Dav Chaf, we do the Gemara Dav Chaf, cotton can be motzi. So what's Rashi's answer? He's not even Mechuyiv Drabanan, he's a zero. He's a
zero.
He's not mechayev at all. I mean, he's not zero. He's a wonderful, wonderfully valuable human being. But in terms of chiyuv, zero. He's not chayev at all. But he's not chayev at all? What's going on here? So what happened to all the Mishnayos about chinuch? Says Rashi. What did Rashi say?
Because
he's not chayev. The father's chiyuv, right? So he's really kata of the patra lagamra. Chiyuv who. It should be noted that what support from within Maseches Brachos can you bring to Shita's Rashi? What support from what you've seen within Maseches Brachos can you bring to Shita's Rashi? Now there's support, and there's also on the other hand there's a. Rabbi Kiveger points out here in the Gilin HaShas and Amchas, read the Gemara and Daf Chaf, it sounds like we're assuming that Mechilu Drayin cannot be one of the good. On the other hand, which is a problem, and Tos is going to get that. There is, however, one shining line of support for, perhaps, for Rashi, and that is, no? What is it?
I think that's a very father.
So he should be able to motivate his father, at least. Okay, but the Gemara says he can't be
motivated. No, but
the Rabban to motivate the Rabban. No, the Rabban to motivate the Gemara there says he cannot.
And also, just when the son has
revenge, he means that. No, what else? What rai can you, what support can you find? There's a line. It does give support to Rashi. On Dav Chav. David?
Is it always having a custom revenue?
What?
The Gemara says, like, is the custom Chayav?
Right. The simple reading of that line of the Gemara is golden according to Rashi.
What's that?
Cutting's a Bar Chiyuva. Now, you could respond, no, the Gemara means he's not a Bar Chiyuva Min HaTorah. Okay. And presumably HaTos would read it. That presumably is HaTos would read it. But it is worth noting, it is worth knowing that line. It is worth noting that line. Aber Lamaisa, yeah.
Is that just saying that he's not tied on the same level as the father?
Perhaps,
or
perhaps.
I'm
sorry?
According to Rashi, that we have this Kapin Narbaku with the flowers, and Fiyam's only his father, what would the Havamina that you want to address be? Because Fiyam really is only Kapin in this line.
The Gemara there, according to Rashi, now Rabbi Kiveger points out here on Memchas, what's going on? The Gemara seems to think that if a woman is chayev as Midrabanan, she can't be motzi a man as chayev min haTorah. So, what's going on? How do you read the whole Gemara there? Again, what did the Gemara there say? Let's just back up for a moment. And let's deal with Rashi, then we'll move on to Tosis. We'll take some questions before we move on to Tosis. Again, the Gemara on Daf Chaf was trying to figure out, are women chayavos in benching or not? Are they chayavos? The Mishnah says they're chayavos in benching. The top of Chaf and Beis. Mishnah talks about it. It says women are chayavos to daven and mezuzah and berakas hamazon. The Gemara says, that's true, but is that only drabbanan or is that min haTorah? That's what the Gemara is trying to figure out. Nasha in the middle of Chaf and Beis. Nasha and Birk Zamazan, Darais and Rabban. Which one is it? They're Chayiv, but to what extent? Can they, and the Gemara says right away, Nafkamino, can they be Motzi others? Now, that opening line, in the open line of the Gemara is definitely assuming that if I'm a Chayiv and Rabbanon, I cannot. Most of the time was Mechayim and Torah, right? Which is, again, the red flies in the face of Rashi. And saying that the rule, like the Alpah. And we'll have to see how Tosis is going to embrace the Gemara and the Alpah. But bear in mind, when the Gemara raises the issue of Chatan, what Rashi would say is that presumably, is that it unfortunately doesn't give us a lot on the Daf. The Pesuk of Rashi would say, look, that was the Gemara's Habamina. How much changes from beginning to end? So Rashi is in a difficult position. He's going to say, the Gemara raised the Katan. According to Rashi, Gemara's point raising Katan was, Katan is even further out than anything you might think about a woman. Everyone agrees a woman is chayeves, at least in the Drabanan. According to Rashi, the Gemara is saying, but you brought me a proof, Be'emes Amru, that the woman is making a bracha on behalf of, venture behalf of her husband. So the Gemara's point was, that proof is totally irrelevant, because that proof talks about a katan, which according to Rashi, forget about non-chayim ha-Torah, he's not a chayim ha-Torah, he's literally not a parashat yuva. The father is the midst of the sea with an invention. The kid himself has no claim whatsoever. So the Gemara is saying, you have to re-understand that, how are you going to do that? So apparently you're going to do it, and it's not simple, certainly not the simplest reading of the Gemara. Presumably, I just have to say, Mamish not chayiv at all. Right? So, I mean, this is an external clear drabon. So, what are you going to do? So, the Gemara solves it by saying, well, maybe the father's only chayiv. Maybe the father is only, also only chayiv midrabanan. Why? Because he only had a kazayis. So, Mamelo, then all of a sudden, Azrabanan, Mapikrabanan. Which, according to Rashi, you're in a somewhat difficult situation. You're forced to say what that means is that once you deal with Rabbanans, so then already, even if I have sort of that, then the Heimamru for Heimamru, and even though I'm not Mokhev at all, but I'm sort of externally Chayv and Rabbanan, I keep most of someone else with this Chayv and Rabbanan. So, in other words, the overall flow of the, let's be clear, the overall flow of the Gemara.com does not sound like Rashi. And Tosis themselves are about to point out. Yikideger points out in Menkhes and all. And we'll see close by the point of Menkhes on B. There is one line in the Gemara which does Kipshuto sound like Rashi, and Rashi could eke his way out of the Gemara and Daf Chav, but it definitely could be a Dokach in terms of the flow of the Shach and Tiger. Now let's take some questions, and then let's get straight to Tosis and see exactly how Tosis talks about what we just put on the last 5 minutes. We're going to see how Tosis responds to Rashi. The first of those, Izzy and Avram. Excellent question. Excellent. I'm glad you raised that. It's a very important point. We generally don't use Shomea Ka'one by Birkas HaMazon unless it's necessary. There's certain brachas that we're comfortable allowing Shomea Ka'one Chatzilah. And you show me other sources indicating sometimes when it's a thank you, sort of like akin to the rationale for saying Mamun Rabbanan. It's not right to be yotzer to someone else's thank you. Like if you buy the Hallmark card and don't personalize it. It's better than nothing. Better than nothing. There was some gesture of saying thank you, but it has a tinny sound to it. That's not a Haki biyotu is someone else's thing. And Moses, at the Chan says, Moses say Moses Gavon. So along those lines, eventually we really would not rely on Shomei Ka'one, unless, one of two things. Unless, a little bit earlier, because Sofer Ubur, you have Karam tell us, if you have one person who doesn't know benching, before they had printed benches, because it was a Tarash Rapeh, and you have a printed venture, but this fellow is not able to read the printed venture. So then, you can absolutely use the Shomei Ka'one without any qualms. Even I can, one person can motzi one person. Or, in the context of a venture of Birkas HaMazon B'chabura, if you can make a Zimun, so then that's already L'chatila. The original Birkas HaMazon Zimun was really the motzi Ebonas. If you ever eat with Teimanim, you will see that is what they do out of Yom HaZeh. They kept the practice of the way the Gemara describes it. And one person is Mizamin, and he says all the brachas out loud, and everyone else listens quietly, and is Yotzer. Shomer Ka'one Ish. Ashkenazi practice, and I think Sephardic practice also, for many centuries they didn't do that, on the assumption of Kim say that it's a dangerous procedure if you're worried that people aren't going to maintain focus for the whole bench. So, but that's what Yosef Kim still point out, that if the idea really is that the Mezamim should be saying the bench out loud, and everyone else says them all quietly, follow them quietly with the Mezamim. At the very least for the first bracha, ideally for all the brachas. Even though you're making a good point, the language the Gemara is using in Memches is definitely Zimun language, Barasha Achlu, Barasha Achalnu. Right? But again, at its core, it's a Shomei Ka'ona or Shomei Ka'ona like so procedure. Correct. Which he says, I need someone to bench me. Otherwise, we could. I could leave the bench, he's the king. He doesn't have to have someone else. He certainly wasn't looking, despite what he. The lie that he said to his brother-in-law, he clearly was not looking to Mechaber Rabban. That's self-evident. But he needed someone to bench for Avram.
When Rashi says, "Vim tumor bekatan shegia l'china," "Avlo amar hafi," does that mean that the Gemara on Memchesim and Aleph doesn't mention that a katan reveals the others?
Or no, it means that the Gemara on Dabchaf and Beis does discuss katan and says that he cannot be motzi a gadol.
That's a case of Jerobonan.
Emoti is the right side.
So, Lo Amar Hachi is that the Gemara on Puff of the Base says that a Katan is obligated to Rabbanan can be say a Gadol is obligated to Raisa, which would seem to disprove what Rashi says.
Correct. Correct. Now let's take a look at Tosis. Let's take a second. Say, Rashi Ocha Kadai is Dagan. First couple lines, he's working with Rashi. Mashum achol kazai zdag v'yachol lahotzi. Afachem shachol ha'sova. The same, how could it be the same tashu Rashi? Zai say no chayvon jabon. Hechi yasur bon, patur darai sov. After all, the Gemara says, that's the Gemara, but he's calling her the Gemara. The Talmud me'era mishi ishtar bon v'arachom lo. The Fali had a situation where wound being taken a beard to Moses for man, where it comes to a beard to Moses for gadol. The Gemara says, well, what they did, Tanam say it works, But you should be, if you had the opportunity to learn and you opted not to even learn how to bench, there's nothing to be proud of. It works. The women and children can emote to you, but should you take pride in your Jewish education? Should you take pride in your code? At least learn how to bench. But it works. He's Rabbanan because he gave a chinuch, Upata Avim is the only time he's Rabbanan because he had a kazayas. He was talking out the question, that was the kasha that Rashi dealt with. Well, Pirish Rashi. Tosafot Rashi, Mechuyid Rabbanan, Mechuyid Karimbe. He is called Mechuyid. He's not even Mechuyid Rabbanan. Why the other time Mechuyid Rabbanan? Aval Allah Ein Shom Akan Divrei Rashi. And here Tosafot begins to talk on the second line of Chesedim. Bekash Lefeirusha. What are his problems? Bikol Makom Kevin She'Eino Min HaTorah Ein Motzei Achayim Shemuchyam. This is all well and good, but in the end, if you're not Chayim Min HaTorah, if Min HaTorah you're Pater, Haki Motzei Achayim who are Chayim Min HaTorah. Question number one. Question number two, and let's figure out what the questions are. The first question was, this is what the words are, is this is all very nice, but in the end, I'm Pater Min HaTorah and you're Chayav Min HaTorah. The old, question number two, Dochak Lom Rekatan Shigi Lechinach Kari Ein Pater Jabon. It's hard to say that he's not even Mechuyav Jabonim. In Einu Mechuyav Dilu Jabonim, in Kain Einu Pater Jabonim. Right? Even forgetting about the earlier part of the Gemara, that when the Gemara set up the Shaila about women and benching and said, Nafkamina can she be Motzia. Maybe that was a Havim. Maybe we moved away from that. But how did he end in the last line of the Gemara? He says, oh, don't worry. We understand how the Kaddish Motzia the Gadol because the Gadol is also on Chayav Jabban. So says, one second. If it comes not Chayav at all, and the Gadol is Chayav Jabban, how does that work? Even Lamaska, that's the reason why Tosis is going from the last line instead of the first. Because you can't say, well, that was a hobby we moved away from it. The bottom line is Mara. was if the gadol is chayav rabbanan, the kamei motzi. Why the gadol is chayav rabbanan, the kamei according to Rashi, and mechayav at all? I suggested before, and Rashi is lechard to answer this far. Well, once the whole issue is only rabbanan, so then maybe then it could be all bets are off. Could be heimam or heimamru that the fact that there is a chayav rabbanan involved, although not his, maybe is enough. Perhaps that's certainly not simple reading the Gemara. Certainly dovah. And that was Tosis pointed out. Simple reading the Gemara. Forget about the Ahava Mina in the Gemara. Black on white, not like Rashi. Even the Maskana, the last line of the Gemara, does not seem to be assuming Rashi's premise that the Katan is not Mechuyev even Midrabbanan. So again, two kashas. Let's skip to seeing Tosis and Terence. Then I want to come back to the kashas again and savor the two kashas a little more. Let us first see what Tosis lays out, and then we can use these kashas to appreciate the contrast between Tosis and Rashi. Are these what if questions? These are direct questions. Correct? Yeah. So let's hold off for now. Sure. Number one, number two. Number one is. But min ha-Torah, am pater, and min ha-Torah, you're chayv. So it's very nice, I'm chayv in Rabbanan. If on the level of the Raisa, am pater, you're chayv, so I'm a motzi. Yes, question number one. Question number two was the Gemara in Daf Chaf does not seem to support Rashi's decision. Again, as I point out, literally one line that sounds like Rashi, but if you keep reading, as you guys point out correctly, and then Tosis himself asks that question. The Rebbe Akiva Eiger, just to clarify, the Rebbe Akiva Eiger, and he did in the Shas and the Chesed Aleph, he was asking the first line of the Gemara is against Rashi. The first line of the Gemara in Daf Chav talks that with him. Tosis was asking from the last line of the Gemara in Daf Chav a similar question. Again, Tosis' question is a little bit stronger in the sense that it's not as explicit. The first one, the line of the Akiva point is very explicit. The line that Tosis pointed to is not quite as explicit, but is more dispositive. It has more binding force because that's an askana. You could have said the first line, maybe that's part of the Havni that was rejected. Right? Whenever you learn, sure, this is not the first time thinking about this, whenever you have a flow, whenever you always have to ask yourself, what's the motion of Shat Matara? And you have a three-legged stool that stands. It stands well. The mathematicians room, obviously, because three points always define a plane. That's why three-legged stools are more stable than four-legged stools. Right? But on the other hand, you take away any leg, and the whole stool falls. Right? So the hafni of the Gemara is like a three-legged stool. And the hafni falls because it stands on certain premises. And the hafni doesn't necessarily have to stand on three premises. It could be one, two, three, four, five, whatever it is. But the hafni, the Gemara made an initial assertion of din, or a possibility of a din, based on certain assumptions. And then usually, of course, of the Shach Vatarius, certain premises are going to be questioned. You know, one of the fruitful questions to ask yourself, I'm sure you've thought about this in the past, is to ask yourself, well, what's the motion in the Shach Vatarius? What's the motion for Havim Tazkan? Which Hanacha was rejected? If the Havim was based on premises 1, 2, and 3, in the Maskana we don't accept the Havim. Why? Because we rejected premise 1, because we rejected premise 2, premise 3, multiple premises? Do we realize a force? How much would we even see coming at first? So you could have said, okay, maybe this is a part of what was rejected by the Havim. Maybe. It's not, certainly not the simple reading of the Gemara. It tells us, yeah, the Havim, that's Kana. It's Kana against Rashi. Certainly a strong Kasha. Okay. Maybe you could creep out of it. You could figure out, okay, maybe what was the world of abundance? You try to figure out some theorems, but certainly Tosis pointed out Kasha number 2. The first kasha is logical. First kasha is misvara. Second kasha is mikimara. The first kasha is logical. Yeah, it can be. Second kasha is it's against the text. And when we'll come back, I want to see the terrors of Tosis. The second kasha is how can Rashi assert that a katan is not mechuyev rabbanan? But the Gemara says the bottom line they're going down from the head. If you keep reading, the Gemara says, when did Tanam say that the 11-year-old boy came out to his father and benching? Look at that from me. The Gemara says, The very next line. Oh, Tameh, without the blind people. Back in the cotton. Was he not barking you, bro? He wasn't aware of his fun. Ah, Ella, my skin on, you're a jaw, sheer jaw, bundle. The Gadol himself only ate a kazayis, not kadei sviya. Asi drabanan, mapi drabanan. Oh, so then the Mela, the Katan, who's the chesachi drabanan, he won't see the Gadol as the chesachi drabanan. Now, the simple reading of that line is the Katan is chesachi drabanan, and the Gadol is chesachi drabanan. Rashi just said the Katan is not chesachi at all. So, that simple reading of that line is the Katan is chesachi drabanan. Nah, I'm not Torah. Is. And again, are there other ways to respond? Yes. But so it says, but the simple reading of the Gemara certainly is not like Rashi. Rashi is going to have to be mindful of the Gemara. Yeah.
What's the exact line that the
Rikivi Eger seems to be going, taking us back to the opening line. The Gemara said up top, Ravina asked Rabbi, I have a Shaila. Where we get the Mishnah tells me not Shema Kai the Benjin is that the Dalais of the Drabah. They say, who cares? Ramay Nafkamina. He could have said Nafkamina is if she can't run with she bench or not. Something. Gemara didn't say that. Instead, the Gemara said, Bapuk Rabbi Yechavas, if it's Dalais, then she can hold the other. But if not, she's Drabanan, Hadiki She'ena Machoy Vidabar. Koshe Machoy Vidabar, Moshe Rabbi Yechavas. The Gemara at that point is quite clear. That if you're Drabanan, then you are in a mechuyev davar vis-a-vis those who are chayiv in the Torah. The Rav Kivei points out the open line of the Gemara is eminently clear about this conceptual version. Why didn't Tosis ask from that line? Probably because one could contend that maybe that's rejected. Maybe. Okay, not, that's a simple reading of the Gemara, but he could have said that. Yeah.
Which Dibur Maskil of the Birna Shas that we do?
The one that's relevant is the one that comments on Rashi. Mem chesam al. Keith.
Yeah, if you say that the Gemara of Maze doesn't flow well with Rashi, there's no sphere between the Gemara's, because this Gemara is saying that the Gemara is tied to Rabbanan, which means tied to his father, and this Gemara over here is saying that Shmuel was tied to Rabbanan, and so was.
Right. Well, if you don't accept Rashi, then what Rashi did, he was madchig internally. Minei obey. It was a more difficult read in the Gemara and Daf Chav. If all you have is one Amud and Shas, and you forget about the other 99.98% Shas, so you say, oh, Gevaldik, right? He say, look, the Gemara doesn't read well, so that's not a good shot, so let's read like Tosfos Gemara. Right, but what Rashi gains is he now decoupled the Gemara and Daf Chav from the Gemara and Daf Memches, we have no steer. Once, if you step away from Rashi's read of the Gemara and Daf Chav, so as you pointed out, now the Gemara and Daf Chav and Daf Memches are the same thing. A Mechuyev Drabanan can't even motzei Mechuyev in the Torah. And now we have a problem. Because remember, L'maskanos HaGemara and Daf Chav, we said, no. The katan is not motzi the gadol if the gadol is chayim in the Torah. Of course not. The katan is only motzi the gadol if the gadol is also drabanan. But were the gadol to be chayim in the Torah, the katan can never be motzi. And again, if you don't accept Rashi, that means that the katan is chayim drabanan. He is chayim drabanan, and he cannot be motzi the one who's chayim in the Torah, which is in line with the opening line of the Gemara there also, right? In the Mishnah. And the question is, what's that? The Gemara of Memches clearly rejected that. So what does Tosfos say? Let's see what Tosfos says, and then let's return again to Chu over the Kashas one more. He Tosfos goes on to quote the Bahab, which he raised on Rashi. So let's slide down a couple of lines, like the 10th narrow line or so. El Anira, the line begins with the word Ben Shetach. El Anira Lechale, Tosfos says, I don't like Rashi, I don't like the Bahab. Neither of them, I find neither of them tenable. So what am I going to say? Third suggestion. Ela nira lechaleg, dekatan sheino bar chiyuv klal d'oraisa, afilu acha kedei sviya. There is a difference. Rashi was onto something. There is a difference between a katan and daf memches. But the difference is like this. The difference is, a katan is not chayiv at all minat Torah. What do you mean not chayav at all minat Torah? Even if he ate a kedei svia. Well, what's the significance of that? Hilkach ena b'choyi b'davar kima. Then that I call him ena b'choyi b'davar. But l'kach lo ma'apiklen. That's why he cannot be motzi. He also shiur et ha'isim. The kata cannot be motzi gadol if the gadol is chayav minat Torah, because the kata is not chayav minat Torah at all. What does that mean? Let's keep reading. The answer is lie in the Baitulis. Very early in the 7th test. Avos gadol, shuvar chiyuv in the Torah. The Tosis says, but the gadol, adaf memches, he is a bar chiyuv in the Torah, ki achal kedei sviya. Were he to eat a kedei sviya, he would be chayiv min haTorah. Shimon ben Shatach could have been chayiv to bench if he would have eaten a kedei sviya. He just didn't. They didn't offer him a kedei sviya. Were he to have eaten a kedei sviya, were Shimon ben Shatach eaten a full meal, he would have been chayiv to bench min haTorah. So therefore, he's always mechayiv b'davar. He's always mechayiv b'davar. Even if, here we go, I feel achal klal. Even if he ate nothing, Tosa says, which is the rule, which is the exception? Tosa says, absolutely, the rule is like the Gemara in Brachas Tav Chafim Beis. If I am Mechuyuj Rabbanan and you're Mechuyuj Matorah, Mechuyuj Rabbanan is not called Mechuyuj on the level of the rest. I will have the Garn Dafim Ches. So Tosa says, unlike Bahag, sort of inverting the Bahag. Bahag said, they're really both Rabbanan. Tosa says, they're both Daraisa. How could that be? Well, if you would have, he says, well, Shema Shatach was Doraisa. It's really a Doraisa, be Motzi a Doraisa. Wow. How is that possible? Well, if Shema Shatach would have had a whole meal, he would have been Chayv Minat Torah. Now, how does that sit with you? Well, if it had four wheels, that would be a bus. Oh, it's very nice. If you would have, should have, could have, but he didn't. Yeah? Yeah, well, if I would have. What does it help if I would have? I'm being a little flippant. What does it help if I would have? Yeah.
Well, he really wasn't able to have a full meal.
Okay, and therefore?
And therefore, he did the most possible, and that's why I think that he says.
Did the most possible.
Because if you're going to said just because he drank a cup of wine, he explained, no, it's because you want me to have something, then he would have been more upset if he would have had a full meal.
True, but Lamasa, it's not going to work. In other words, Rabbi, you're right. Under the circumstances, maybe Pekuach Nefesh involved. Shem HaShach had to make sure he didn't get his head severed from his body. And that definitely could have overridden any other considerations of helping Yanai be Yotze benching, certainly. Right? But the thing is that Rabbi, if all he had of the story, it wouldn't be much of a kasha. But Rabbi Abba, comment, Rabbi Abba living centuries later, comments that Rabbi Abba is living probably two generations after Rabbi Yechon, three generations after Rabbi Anasi. Rabbi Abba is probably living in the late 300s, early 400s. Commenting on the story of Shimon ben Shatach, this is like a good 400 or more years earlier. Rabbi Abba is seeing the Beis Midrash. Rabbi Abba is saying, in theory, here's what one should have done, based on a shear that Rabbi Yechon gave. So he's talking about how you talk our Yotze. It really works. You can leave aside the practical expediencies of having to make sure that you don't get killed by Yama HaMel. That's no longer in play at the end of the Gemara. It's not a question I could have, I didn't have a choice. The thing like a lamzen, right? If the Gemara, if Tosa is saying, well, I don't care that whether you actually ate the bread, I just care that, well, if you would have, what does that tell me, Snow?
He said he holds that you're clearly there at one on, that he holds just like Rashi that you're called in clue.
Explicitly rejects that.
No, I think the only thing I think he spoke like that with the exception of that only applies if you wouldn't be able to be clear of the right. You know like basically like Rashi that if you clear the running from clear of the Gavar, if you would be able to
to be the Kriya Dereisa. If you would never be able to be the Kriya Dereisa, then that wouldn't apply.
I would ask you to be intellectually more ambitious, or to be willing to intellectually give, feel more free, spontaneous, flexible, to give up previous hanachas. Once you're saying that it's enough that I could have been chayav, then you don't even need to be chayav Rabban. As a matter of fact, Tosa says that if you don't need Rashi anymore, Tosa says explicitly, Tosa says, really? You didn't have to eat anything. If you ate nothing, Tosa goes on to say at the end, the only reason why I want you to have a kezayis is that you can say, "Baruch Shalcha." How can I say I ate? I didn't eat. All I did is drink. Right, which by the way, is the simplest reading of the Gemara Memchas. Right? But Shem Meshetach said, "Oh, what am I supposed to do? Say Baruch Shalcha Yana Dechaber Mishalom." Right, so that's why he drinks a cup of wine. Right? And then Rabbi Abba says, we would say a cup of wine is not enough, you should eat a piece of bread. So we sure read the Gemara, so it's like he's being a little sarcastic, and it's an expression. What he's really trying to say is, I'm not mechuyav. But Tosa says, no. Tosa says, our Gemara Memches, he agrees with Bahad on this point. The Gemara Memches has nothing to do with mechuyav b'davar. That's not the issue. That's not what's being debated. Of course it's mechuyav b'davar. By the way, it's also, what was Shem Meshetach thinking? A glass of wine? How to make, what's the halamina? What's Shem Meshetach Shita all about? The Tosa says, I'll tell you what it's about. Tosa says, Shem Meshetach is a mechuyav b'davar even if he eats nothing. The question is, the Gemara is just litigating, well, but in order to have the, be able to say the language of Baruch Shalom Mishalom, is enough to have a drink, or do you have to actually eat bread? But that's sort of a detail issue. But in terms of the fundamental Shemaya Ka'ona, but getting back to the core point, what does it mean? If I would have. So what's Tosa saying? The Tosa is saying, Mechuyav B'davar is not defined as someone who is, do you mean adverb? That's an adjective. What comes before obligated? Mechuyav B'davar, Tosa says, is not defined by someone who is yes, actually, currently, actively, b'koal. I don't care whether you are right now mechuyav to the mitzvah or not. What I care about is, who are you? Are you a bar chiyuva? Are you a Jew who's in this parsha? Tosa points out, what were the examples in mechuyav B'davar? A woman blowing a shofar for a man. It's not that at the moment she's not mechuyavet. Is that she's not in the parsha. She is not, she doesn't have that mitzvah. She can volunteer, but that's not one of her obligations. It's not in her portfolio. But Tosa says, I don't think that mechuyav b'davar means right now I'm mechuyav. And Tosa says, I'll bring you a raya. Now let's take some minutes. Tosa says, I'll bring you a raya. That little piece that we skipped, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, happens to be commenting on that Mishnah, not surprisingly. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says, Mechuyav B'davar, the Gemara says the following. What do you do with that Mildred? That Mildred child. Say that Mildred child. And Mildred, great Aunt Mildred, I was Zocha for many years to have a great Aunt Mildred in my life. And she used to come to us, Kaseder, for Shabbos meals. She dived in a different shul, so sometimes it was Kiddush there, not a Kiddush in our shul, sometimes she would show up later. Right? So you wait for Aunt Mildred. But at a certain point, especially the other guests, at a certain point, if I would say, you know, we'll start the meal when Aunt Mildred shows up. We'll make kiddush for her. Now, how does that work? We'll make kiddush for her. Let's say I already made kiddush, and then a guest shows up. Guest is not comfortable making kiddush for whatever reason. Can I make kiddush a second time?
Yeah.
Yes. So the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah one second. But I was already yotze. I'm potter. I already said kiddush. So. An hour ago, I was mechuyav b'davar, but v'chora, I am no longer mechuyav b'davar because I was yotze. So the Gemara says, "Don't worry." Gemara says, "Here, brachas Rosh Hashanah, Pesach, kol brachas kula, avo pisha yotze, motzi." Because it's almost all brachas, with few exceptions, avo pisha yotze motzi. That term usually is called yotze motzi. Which it's really yotze, motzi. If you're yotze, that's the case, the din is motzi. You could still be motzi. Why is that? Because This may or may not be the same as what Rashi says there. Tosis says here, you know why I may already make Kiddush and I can still be motzi you when you show up? Because I'm still mechuyev bedavar. Tosis says mechuyev bedavar doesn't mean I'm bekoach, actually mechuyev right now. Mechuyev bedavar just means I'm in the parsha. This mitzvah applies to me. I am in principle chayiv in this mitzvah. If I'm in principle chayiv in this mitzvah, so I can motzi you too. Doesn't matter whether I'm bepoel chayiv or not. So that's why Tosa says, that's a raya. Now I am interpreting the Gemara. So again, let's put the piece together a little more. We'll take some questions, and then let's go back to the two Kashan Tosas to put the piece together even more. First, let's just recap this a little bit. Tosa just gave us a gorgeous Tosas. Right? Teretz number 3 to resolve the skir between Chaf and the Ches. Tosa says, I'll tell the answer. You want to know whether Mechuyah Drabbani Pelez and Mechuyah Daraisa? No. Rashi said yes, and I say no. And Rashi said yes, like the Rabbani and Ches, and Katna is up as an exception, because Katna Mechuyah Drabbani Pelez. Right? Tosa says, that's not correct. I don't think so. Tosa says, no. Daf Chaf is a rule. The Gemara is very clear on Daf Chaf. Mechuyah Drabbani Pelez and Mechuyah Drabbani Pelez. Very, very clear. That was the Havmina, but that's true. Maskana also says Tosa. Our Gemara is irrelevant. Why? Because Mechuyah B'davar is not defined by whether I have an active current, actual chiyuv to do it right now, not Metsuva, not that I mean, at the moment actually chayav to do it, it just am I agavre Mechuyah? Am I in this parasha? So that was the issue on Daf Chaf. We're talking about Katan, and Aisha. The question was, is this category of Jew obligated by this mitzvah or not? Ever. So, but here, Tos says, yeah, when you read the Gemara, it sounded like the Gemara told Mechuyah B'davar, ain't Mechuyah B'davar, the whole Kazai's dog, nah, that was just a detail, that was a side point. You have to be able to, you can't be a Dover Shkarim. And that's not a side point. That one should speak the truth is one of the most fundamental parts of being a good Jew. One of the most central parts of being a good Jew is Valach Tabadrachav, is to emulate the divine model. And one of the most central midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. How do we know that? Because the Gemara says, Chosamo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a God's signature. We don't know exactly what that means, but clearly it means that that's one of the defining characteristics of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's one of the central characteristics of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that he's Emes, he's real, he's true. So to be an honest person is one of the central aspects of being a good Jew, that's for sure. It's not central to Shemayat Kohana. That's all I meant. It's not Shemayat Kohana question. You can say Baruch Shacham Shalom, how much do I have to eat in order for it to be legitimate for me to utter the words Shachal Nu, that I'm one of the eaters. Okay, but that's a side discussion. That's Zaitik. That's not, that doesn't cut to the heart of Shemayat Kohana. That is Tosis's parents. And Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of questions. Start from the back and move it up front. Yeah. Yes?
So don't we have
you're next now.
Even if you're in the category, you can't have, like, for example, Arth is there at the rule you can't have, you know, a certain amount of people, like for Mari, let's say, if everyone dies except for like one person, so if you make a minion out of, theoretically, you can't make a, there has to be like six people, what is it, something like that? If I make an idol,
yeah, you have to have six. Yeah, okay.
So even though that person is high of in davening maariv, if there are all the people, if they're in the category high of davening maariv, they can't be part of the minyan. So
it sounds like what you're saying is that we find this notion of being in the parsha in other areas of halacha also. You're saying, for instance, to answer the kash kedusha baruch hu, I don't need 10 people who are davening, but I do need 10 people over bar mitzvah. Kids under a 12-year-old boy is not going to help me, but the 15-year-old who is in principle chayiv but right now is not chayiv could help me. So you're saying that's a somewhat parallel, yeah? Or let's say, for instance, another example is to write tefillin. That this is a din d'oraisa, presumably. To write tefillin, I have to be bar kshira. Right? Gar seems to say, well, women are probably not allowed to be sofros for tefillin, because they're not chmichiyavas and tefillin. But how about if the sofrei wore tefillin today? Let's say you assume that the mitzvah of tefillin once a day, every day. So you tell me that the sofer can only write tefillin before he puts on film, because the rest of the day is potter.
That's what I'm saying, that we have examples of people.
But this is what I'm talking. The answer to that is obviously no. Why? Because you don't have to actually be chayiv, practical chayiv right now. You just need to be a Jew who's in the parasha. This chayiv applies to me. So if I'm a Jewish male, the chayiv tefillin applies to me. I may fulfill my chayiv for today. I may not be practically obligated, but I am.
So right now, if I wash and nobody else washed, and I wanted to have a zimun, right? I couldn't make a zimun just because everybody else here is chayiv in benching. If I'm the only one who washed, then how are they going
to do that? That's true. That's a good point. Because this takes us back to Izzy's point, which is that for the dynamic of the zimun, you need to have a group of people. Zimun means I have a chabura that is benching. So if you're the only person who washed, so we could start to figure out, in other words, have two people ate bread and one person ate other food. One person ate bread, but we've got to talk about that. But it certainly is true, according to Tosfos, that if you need to be yotze, benching, because you don't have a bencher, you don't remember benching by heart, and someone else does, he can be motzi with benching on Tosfos, even though he didn't eat anything. He didn't eat anything. That's the shita of Tosfos. Rashi disagrees, both here and Rosh Hashanah. That's the Shita Tosfos.
What about, say, Gemara, that
you start that's somewhat parallel. Okay, but they're not going to be motzi someone else. Right? It's a parallel concept, it's not the same.
It's either way, you're in the category, right, and yet you can't be part of it.
No, that you could be mitzvah for a certain number of people to the minyan, even though they're not chayv to Dabur. And many of you feel the tzibur. But again, that's not the same thing, because that's not a question of lahotzi. It's a question of, do we have a group that's davening?
I'm saying, my point was, though, is that we find a lot of times that there are people, even though they're in the category of something, can't do any category.
Okay, right. It will probably depend, each din of the world may be different. In terms of Shomei Ka'one, for the din of Shomei Ka'one, which is not employed by your Meyer case, but is employed here, the Tosis asserts that Shomei Ka'one is determined, you know, Shomei Ka'one runs in terms of Chayiv B'Koach, not in terms of practically Chayiv B'Pol.
So no. So according to Tosfos, the Kotel can be anything, he can be able to be a Gado, his Chayiv Geron.
Yeah.
And
correct.
So the Chag would only be able to recognize each base via.
That's a further question. Chag Rabban Trebo. That's a further question. How do you deal with that?
We're going to deal with that?
Probably not. Yeah.
When the Gemara then says that Shema Chedach, the Avad, the Garmak, the Avad, and then it's supposed to, you know, Lol, Nina, what's his Ravni, if what's on Shiloh, Zayas Dagam? Is that saying that he's not able to say Shacham and Shalom until he has Zayas Dagam?
According to Tosfos, that's all it means.
Right.
It's inappropriate to say Shacham and Shalom.
Motzi as Ravni just means to say Shacham and Shalom.
Yeah, so you're pointing out correctly that now this line, the Gemara in Dav Chaf was very sticky according to Rashi. That line is a little bit sticky according to Tosfos. Yeah.
Why does he even bring up that Kata isn't able to be
high? Let's take questions on. Yeah. I'm sorry? I'm not sure. Maybe not. And maybe you have to have bread. I'm not sure. Maybe because that's the type of chilul we're talking about. I'm not sure. It's a good question. I'm not sure. Yeah. So, you know? Wow.
Yeah. So why does Tosfos mention that Katan isn't able at all to be chayv and is it now chayv and bad? It's the same question.
No, he's not chayiv min haTorah at all. That's true. He's categorically patur min haTorah. Or chayiv rabban. While Shema Shata is not categorically patur min haTorah.
It's a
chalal. It's a chalal at all.
So
he's min haTorah, not chayiv whatsoever. It's not just at this moment he's not within the contingencies, within the conditions for the mitzvah to apply. He's not in the parsha. And therefore, that's what tells what he might include. I meant to get a question.
So, because the katan can't be can't ever be chayav, so we're saying that because of that, the if the difference is that one might be that someone over mitzvah could have the ability to be five, but someone, even if a katan ate, he's still never five. So that's the difference.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's not just that at this moment he's not practicing five. It's that fundamentally he does not have the seat of the rest.
So.
That's what we call it. Okay.
How does Tosfos work with the last line of the page?
You want to say that?
No, like, last line of Maskana.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I don't like.
What? The only emoji around the Chavasa Ache, you know, what's that time?
Chafenbeis,
yeah. Has Tosis work with it?
Yes.
It's beautiful.
But the Gadol is in the
Parsha. Yeah, but, correct. Good, very good. However, the Torah says if the Gadol is only eating, the Gadol only has the Chiyuv Drabanan, practically. In other words, it might be true that we should look in terms of the power of the Motzi, in terms of the power of the Motzi determined by what level, what category is he? What level of chiyuv? To what extent does he relate to this mitzvah? But all you need, in terms of how much power, that's how much power the motzi can provide. In terms of how much power the yotze requires, he only needs as much power as he needs for whatever he's doing. Right? So if I am trying to be yotze ben, I'm the gadol trying to be yotze benching, and I only had a slice of bread. I only had one slice of pizza. So I would bench on a slice of pizza, but I don't drop on it. Right? So all I need is a benching drabanan. So a katan can provide that because midrabanan, he is fundamentally mechuyev b'davar. As a matter of fact, Snow pointed out, and according to Tosis, who would say the katan doesn't even have to eat anything. He can be mostly without eating anything because he is. The question of how much you ate for Tosis is only relevant to one who needs to be yotze, not for the one who is being motzi achim. And the Gemara, it works. If you read through the Gemara carefully, it does work. I'm rubbing.
What was Tosfos' first question?
Exactly, I could not have asked for a better segue. It's exactly what I want to talk about right now. As promised before, I said we'll take a few questions. We'll actually have a few questions, many questions. But now we saw Tosfos attacked Rashi and the Gittur on Teres. Now let's go back, as Rami suggested, let us return to Tosfos' questions. And we return to Tosfos' questions, now let's read and savor. Now that we know what Tosis is saying, let's think about how Tosis' questions set Tosis apart from Rashi. Let's read, and then let's consider. Again, here we are. Back to the top of the Mechesan days. Second line. The Kasha Leferusho, question number one. If it's very nice if you're Mechuyav Rabbanan, but you're not Mechuyav Torah, so how could you say that, well, since it's Mechuyav Drabanan, that's good enough? But on levels of Raisa, they're not the same. Right? That was the first question. The second question was, don't chak lomar that kan shegi lechinuch is in Mechuyav at all. Because if he's in Mechuyav at all, so what are we going to do with the Gemara and Davchav? Gemara and Davchav sounds like maskana that the kid is Mechuyav Drabanan. If all the gadol needs is a bench Drabanan, the kid can provide that. Sounds like he's not Mechuyav at Torah, but sounds like he is Mechuyav Drabanan. So those are the two questions. Now let's consider what that tells me. In other words, how many points of difference are there between Rashi and Tosfos? Or if you want to translate into Hebrew, what are the nekudos ha-machlokas? Or how many machlokas are there? Words, there is a machlokas I read in two Gemaras, and a machlokas in Din. How many underlying conceptual machlokas are going on between Rashi and Tosfos? Probably several. And the questions themselves pointed out. Let's consider the first question. The first kasha Tosfos had against Rashi. Let me draw some lines. The first kasha they had is how could you say this? How could you say that a Mechuyav Drabanan can be called the Mechuyav Ma'atayrah? Can be Motzi Mechuyav Ma'atayrah? But min haTorah, he's Pater and he's Chayav. That's a fantastic logical question. So what would Rashi possibly answer? What would Rashi possibly answer? So Lechora, the first fundamental machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos is, as indicated by Kasha Aleph, is Dudra, but what about the nature of Dinim, or the nature of Dinim Drabban? That's something that we already touched on earlier in Daf Beis Amud Aleph. It's something we're going to get back to in Shem again in Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. So one thing I don't want to dive in too much right now because that would set us far afield, but we should file away. The Rashi seems to be saying a very powerful statement in favor, and he's making a statement for a very robust, powerful understanding of Dinim Drabbanan. Even though, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, I was part of your Chayiv, but all of a sudden, once Chazal made me Chayiv, now I'm Mamash Chayiv, even with respect to the Daraisa, which is wild. But it sounds like Rashi's saying that Drabbanan's count the level of Daraisa. That's L'chora, the simplest response to Tosas. It's Kasha. Tosas said, oh yeah, I don't think that's true. So it sounds like the first core machlokas is over the nature of Dinim Drabbanan. Yeah. Another machlokas is that comes from the Raya of Tosos is over how Yotza Motzi goes. I don't want to get too involved right now, but you can work. There's definitely more work to be done. Tosfos is raya that this is false. Let's put it like this. The second core machlokas comes in the teretz of Tosfos, which is how do you define Mechoyer B'dar. Right? The Shomei HaKohen required that I'm actually chayiv in the mitzvah right now. That's what Rashi had assumed. Or do you say, no. It's just that I'm in the parasha.
Is that based on the first one?
They're two separate points. They're connected in a cheshbon. They're not conceptually equivalent. Once I say one, I need to say the other practically, otherwise the things don't work. But conceptually, they're independent points. One is, what's the nature of Din Drabbanan? Another question is, when you have a Din, presumably Daraisa, of Shomeik Yefti Mechuyi B'Davar Shomeik Ha'one, forget about Drabbanan. Do I have to actually be Chayiv right now, or is it just that I'm in the Parasha? If you ate a full meal, and I ate nothing to Drabbanan, can I be Motzi or not? But I'm an adult Jewish male. And that relates to you can either call Machlokas 3 or 2b, that comes from Tosis' Raya, is how, what's the driving force of Yatza Motzi? Tosis had said, oh, Yatza Motzi is exactly this, because you just have to be Mechoyed B'dam. Right? While, if you take a look, and Rashi Chashan Chavtes, Rashi, not surprisingly, has a different approach to Yatza Motzi. He needs to give a lumdus. How come Yatza Motzi works? Rashi works hard in explaining that if I was already Mechuyev in Kiddush, we were both Kiddush, Shabbos, Kay, we're both Chayev in Kiddush. I was already Yotzei, but Rashi explains why if you're still Chayev, so I'm not fully Yotzei either yet. And therefore, I'm also a little bit Chayev. Tosis has none of that. Tosis says, you don't have to be Chayev at all right now. It's just that you're in the parasha. Nafkamina would be, presumably, let's say, I ate a full meal and you ate zero. Is it so clear that I came out to you? That's a good question. Maybe yes, maybe not. Gotta think about that. According to Rashi. According to Tosas, definitely. Finally, and here we come back to home base. What you see from Kasha number 2 is yet another core machlokas. What do you see from Kasha number 2? They're arguing over what else about Rashi does Tosas reject?
The level of Chiyuv.
Yeah. Or the level of Chiyuv, or who is Chayiv in Chiyuv? Everyone agrees that the Chiyuv of the Katan is Rabbanan. That's for sure. The question, though, is what do you mean mitzvah drabbana? Whose mitzvah drabbana? Right. Rashi said something remarkable, which Tosu seems to think is utterly incorrect. Rashi said, the kadam is not fulfilling the mitzvah of chinam. The gadol is fulfilling the mitzvah of chinam. It's the father's mitzvah, it's not the kid's mitzvah. He's a kadam. Rav Chanan actually discusses this question in Kuntres today. So if I'm not fulfilling anything in the Torah, how could Chazal impose a mitzvah drabbanan of chinam on me? By what force? I'm not fulfilling to listen to them either. Interesting logical question. The truth is, Rashi's approach helps. Rashi said, yeah, the kid's not chayv in anything. The father has a mitzvah. The father's a gadol. He's chayv in tarek mitzvahs. He's chayv to listen to the chazal. Chazal said, we're giving a mitzvah rabbanah to mechanach your kid. So, from that perspective, Rashi's position is conceptually smoother. It's the kid, it's the father's chayv. The son is not a bar chayv. Right? Rabbi Chanan works hard to explain how you can sort of pull yourself up by your bootstraps. How can it be that the kid has no chiyuv in the Torah at all, and yet Chazal managed to give him mitzvahs? Good question why that works, but that's what Tosa says. It's the kid's chiyuv. It's the kid's chiyuv. And, I'm sorry you don't have, we're limited in board space. I'll take a picture. If you want it for reference later. Now, let's go back to what we charged before. And now we're ready to put everything together. Remember, we had the aim, and we had the read. Right? Absolutely. Watch what's about that.
Oh my God, no, it's not there.
Watch what's about that, Rosa. Remember that Akasha? What do you do with a stira? I have all these sources for chinuch. On the other hand, I have a Gemara Yavamas that says, go let the kid eat his pork chops. Hi, yitachin. Right? So the Re'im said, what's the answer? Chinuch is rak b'mitzvah. Right? While the Riyad said, chinuch is rak ha'av. Right? Rak mitzvah below the stira. Right? I'll say below the dila. And the Riyat said Raka below Bezin. Right? When the Gemara Rambam said Kad Ochel Mevelo in Bezin Masum Lafricho, for the Re'im, the key one is Kad Ochel Mevelos, because he's doing an issa as opposed to avoid a mitzvah. For the Riyat, because it's the Bezin doesn't have to step in, but the father does. So what do we develop? We say, well, the Re'im, what's the machlokas over? It seems like the machlokas whether you accept this, and separately the machlokas you accept this. Now, it sounds like two separate machlokas. Do you accept the limitation of mitzvahs versus averus, and do you accept the limitation of father versus son? And on that initial assumption, we said, oh, what's the machlokas over the Re'im's chiddush, mitzvahs versus averus, especially given that it didn't seem like it was pashut, said, oh, that had to do with kiyum versus argol. Right? And that related to the psul She'eno Nika, right? That was Machlokas Ritva versus Ravon. Right? Ravon appears in Agos Ashi. I came across after Ravon also appears in Mordechai. That makes it easier to find. The font is a little bit bigger. Whatever it is. Check. Right. Now, what's going on with the father versus the versus Bezin? What type of does that mean? Why should Bezin not be Chayiv? After all, well, let's build it up. Part of Bezin is not purely a judicial body. Right? Bezin is supposed to be called Kofal HaMitzvos. Bezin is also an enforcement, a law enforcement body. Bezin is achrai for the religious observance of in an ideal situation where Bezin has a political, legitimate political authority to do this. Bezin is supposed to ensure that the halachas are being kept. So if a 15-year-old decides he's not going to shake lulav this sukkah, basically we'll knock on your door and say, excuse me, you have to shake lulav. And we will press the matter of you. Kofar al mitzvahs. So the Re'im says, yes, Bezin would enforce chinuch on the kid. And the Re'im says, no, only the father, not Bezin. Well, what's the argument? So the argument is, exactly... Rashi, and Tosfos in Brachas. How so? Because the Ri would say, like whom? The Ri would say, like, you know what's done with the father?
Rashi.
The Ri would say, exactly like Rashi. And the A would say, Tosfos. In other words, the reason why Basin sees the kid eating the trefus, they don't do anything. You know why? Why does that make a lot of sense? Probably it's that the Ri is assuming, like Rashi. It's not the kid's, he's not doing anything wrong. He's allowed to eat it. He's not mechuyev. If the father has a mitzvah to train the kid, the father's not here. It's the father's mitzvah. The Ri might agree, perhaps, I'm suggesting, that if the father and son are there together, Beis Din won't be called for the son, they might be called for the father. And say, hey, you got to do something about it. You have a mitzvah to do something about this. But just if the katan alone is ochel nevelos, what does that do anything else? It's not the katan's chiyuv. Katan doesn't do anything wrong. Right? While the re'ein, who rejects the approach of the Ri, we're probably hold lactosis. That what? We're probably hold lactosis. That what? Whose chiyuv is it? So Sanskrit, you are Chayv Yidrabban. Again, we said Rav Chanan tries to figure out how does that work logically, but in Lamaise it's true. Tosis put it down as the second Kasha of Tosis. Right? The second Kasha of Tosis pointed out that one of the four issues at play, fundamentally, the four Nekudos on Achlokas, between Rashi and Tosis and Brachas Memches, point number four is it the father's Chayv or the son's Chayv? What is this Mitzvah Rabban that Chazal created? They impose it on the father, impose it on the son. Now that Machlokas, and let's rewrite this a little bit just to make it clearer. Let's expand it like this. Let's take it down. Now you said this is Machlokas Tosfos and Rashi. Now let's expand it a little bit. This is, we're saying here that the Re'eim holds of Kiyum and the Ri holds Hargala. Right? The logical question. But the Naf Kamiya from Psul Shein Nikr, here at the Ritva, right? Versus the Rava. Ritva says it's no good, Rava says it is. Right? And then here you have the question of me, Chayim, Chinuch.
The Ri holds Hargala.
The Torah. Right? Because the Ri says even Averis. And this is what comes up with Tosis, Rashi and Tosis. Now, the Tosa says it's the Bain is Chayiv, and Raja says it's the father is Chayiv. Right? But that would explain why. Right? But so far, it seems as though we have two separate discussions. Is a Machlok is whether we limit it to the mitzvahs or not, Machlok is limited to the father or not. One is a question of is the nature of Chinuch Kima or Hagala, the other question of who is Chayiv in Chinuch. But now, we close by putting this all together. Because if you think about it, it's not just that in Cheshvin they're interconnected, because you have to give one teretz over the other. But Lechora, once you have this much analysis of each teretz, you realize they're probably fundamentally discussing the same thing. Because it's likely that what drives the question of whether Chazal actually mandated real kiyumin or just the practice, it's a question of whether they impose the chiyuv on the father or the son. Because if they impose the chiyuv on the father, so then it's not that the kid is doing mitzvahs. The father has a chiyuv to see whether the kid should act a certain way. If you give me 10 seconds, it becomes incredibly difficult to say that, you know, to say that you actually require the kid a real kiyumim, that sounds like that's a chiyuv imposed on the child. If the chiv is imposed on the father, it means the father has a chiv to see to it. It's not the son's mitzvah at all. The father's mitzvah to see to it that the son behaves a certain way. But these actually seem to line up very well in particular directions. If you hold it's a chiv on the father, logically you have to say targala. If you hold it's a chiyum, then you're going to have to say chiyum is Chazal should want you to do mitzvahs. Not that you want the father to see what the son is doing mitzvahs, but. So what emerges is that these two terutzim are fundamentally discussing the same question of what is the essence of the mitzvah of chinuch. What they actually somehow magically impose a chiyuv on ketanim to do mitzvahs, or they impose a chiyuv on the parents to to train their children, have the children act in a way that will lead them to doing mitzvahs. This plays down in Shulchan Aruch as well, but this is a core idea. And turn the floor over to Rabbi Janikowski and Mr.
Thank you very much. Sorry to disturb you guys.
Just a final postscript. We just saw how, again, the two terutzim of the Rishonim that in Tosfos Yerushalmi to this core question about chinuch, each teretz branched out into one of two larger machlokesim. Machlokes Ritva Ravan about Hargala versus Kiyum, and machlokes Rashi and Tosfos about who is mechuyev b'chinuch. And we saw that once we think about some more, again, that Gemara in Brachas itself is, as we saw, incredibly rich. There's a lot going on in Shabbat Tariyah, and as we saw, machlokes Rashi and Tosfos are probably three or four independent one of which is this question of chinuch, which, as promised, takes us back here, because that's probably what's driving the Riz Teretz and the response to Riz Teretz. And as we saw, really everything ultimately, the four points, mitzvahs versus avers, father versus other people, chayfetz kasher versus chayfetz pasul, and is the chiyuv of the father and son, all those four points ultimately really become one coherent, fundamentally one single machlokas over the nature of chiyuv. And I would just close by pointing to two things as postscripts, as footnotes. Number one, if you take a look in Chagiga, Stipler and others discuss this, if you take a look in Chagiga, the third Mishnah about chinuch is the opening Mishnah in Chagiga, discusses when do you mandate Aliyah L'Regel. As I mentioned, Dafayim Abayz is a very important Gemara in terms of sources in Chazal for Jewish pride, for Jewish national pride, for... We'll bleed out or get to that more come Yom HaTzmut season. On the above of an olive, the Gemara has a fascinating discussion about the katan who is right now, has a physical disability which ought to potter him from Aliyah L'Regel. Were he to be a gadol, but he was, for instance, blind, a blind gadol is not chayv in Aliyah L'Regel. You can come if you want, but you're not obligated. The Gemara wants to know, how about the kid has temporary blindness? The 10-year-old is temporarily blind, but he's going to, that's a maskan sagimar. He's going to, it's a temporary situation, within a year it will resolve itself. The time is bar mitzvah, he'll be sighted once again, and the chai is the olarega. So the girl tries to figure out, so, but is he chai, the father has a responsibility to have him be olarega. And the Gemara answers, Abaye says, well, were he, if he was sighted, a sighted adult is high to Olam Regel in the Torah, a sighted child is high to Olam Regel in the Jabon. But it sounds like Abaye says, but since a blind gadol is potter absolutely from the Olam Regel, there's no chiyuv chinuch on a blind katan. Sounds like, even though when he will be a gadol, he will be chayiv. So sound, the Gemara definitely sounds like, at face value, definitely sounds like Kiyum, Lakula, it's like the Ritva, but Lakula, the Ritva was requiring you to make sure that the chayv you're using is totally kosher. The Gemara sounds like it's saying, well, since you wouldn't be, the joke they say, by the way, from the Avenezer, is Avenezer is a young boy, father sends him home in the middle of Yom Kippur to go home and eat. So under Bar Mitzvah, more than 2 years under Bar Mitzvah, so he's only fasting part of the day, his father sends him home to go eat. He comes back to shul afterwards, and the father says to him, no, say, you made kiddush. So he said, no. I understand, you ate that kiddush. Avinazer said, why did I make kiddush on Shabbos? Chinuch, because when I grow up, I'll have to make kiddush. So I have to practice as a katan before I do when I'm a gadol. He said, oh, but when I'm a gadol, I'm not going to make kiddush, I'm not going to eat. Are you encouraging slapping children?
Honestly,
let me be clear on the record. I would not encourage slapping children. Furthermore, he had a great fart. It's gevaldik. I'm sure his father gave him a kiss. And if you're interested in researching how different Rishonim read that Gemara in Chagiga, you may find that to be rich. And finally, one final postscript. That was the first postscript of the Gemara in Chagiga. Take a little Rashi Tosa if you want, you can look around elsewhere. And the other postscript, and then I'll be glad to take questions downstairs in this marriage, the other postscript is the following. You look at Hilchas Lulav and Shulchan Aruch. So in Taf Resh Nun Ches, the Magen Avraham says clearly, if you give a lulav to a kid and you tell him in a way that's not really shalom, im amar l'katni shalchad sheteitzeba, you tell the kid, here's this lulav, is yours only for as long as you need it. King Lizman, which would not work for a gadol on the first day, lo yotza, hakatan lo yotza. Magen Avraham paskins, the kid's not yotza. Sounds like the Magen Avraham is aligned with the Ritva. Right? While, because he says, it had to be mamash kasher. While the Taz, here's the very fact, the Taz, I think, is a subtle indication that the Taz agrees with the Ravan, that it doesn't have to be fully kasher. Because the Gemara had said on Membeis, the price of Membeis, the Gemara had said that the different mitzvahs of Chinuch, the Gemara had said, the kid becomes old enough, Madele Nanea, Chayev Ulula. Shulchan Aruch says, Kanadele Nanea, Avid Chayev Liknos Lulu, Him Chanukamis, Kapfana, the boy of Ulula. Why does Shulchan Aruch say boy?
So, it's Kim.
Ooh! So the Rosh says, the Taz says, the Marshal wanted to know, the Taz there in Tafresh and Zayn. But Hed Yeshaninu, Chayev Ulula, it didn't say Tarh Liknos Lulu. He said, unlike by tefillin, the Brisa said, "Hayadei kadosh day l'shmat tefillin avol lokeach lo tefillin." And some don't have that gear to by tzitzis avol lokeach lo tzitzis. But by lulav, the language of the Mishnah and the Brisa was just chayav by lulav. So why did the Shulchan Aruch? Why Hatam Pashtet? The Marshal says, why are we distinguishing? Why is the Tanoim say you have to buy the kids still, maybe you have to buy the kids, it didn't say you have to buy the kid to look. What's the difference between civil and system on one hand, will and the other? Practical, simple practical difference, Marshal points out. Yeah. If we're sharing a pair of tits, one of us is not wearing tits. The Tanoim say, I'm Sukkim and Bays, kids, Chinuch and Phil means the father buys himself. Chinuch and Tits perhaps means the father buys himself. On Chinuch and Lulav, the language of the Tanoim, unlike Shulchan Aruch, was Yuchayim Lulav, not you buy him Lulav. The Marshal says, why? Hatam Pashat. Oh, you know why? Ain't it's Aruch. So a little bit of the answer. You have to buy him his own. Well, Achash Yet Bo Avik, he's going to look Melav, Achalav. Hashem came from. I'll be able to say, you'll be able to say. That's a big deal. Hashem came by Tfilin, who each Jew needs his own pair of Tfilin. Because we need to be able to daven simultaneously, each in our own village. The Marshal says, oh, that's the answer. That's the answer. In your day, Makasha, the Taz looks at Marshal and says, what's the problem? The Marshal was so bothered. The Marshal points out the Gemara distinguishes. And why the Shulchan Aruch adding Chayiv Liknos Olulav? It's not what the Gemara said. Tal says, what's wrong? What's wrong? I'll give you a good shot in why the Shulchan Aruch said you should actually buy your kid Olulav. Now think about what you would say. What would you say? You know why the Tanoim in the Mishnah didn't say buy your kid Olulav, buy your kid Olulav. The Halach L'maisu, you might say you should. The simplest answer is because in Eretz Yisrael, how many days of Yontif are there? How many days of Yontif are there?
One.
Seven days of Sukkot, and one day of Yom Tov. Or be more specific, how many days of Shalachem? How many days do you require Shalachem in Eretz Yisrael? One. Right? So I'll be, as the Marshal said, I'll be Yotzei and I'll give it to my cousin, and he'll be Yotzei. I don't need it back afterwards. Because the next day is Chol Moed, there's no need for Shalachem. So the Mishnah says, he's chayv in a lulav. He'll use mine after I use mine. But once you're talking in the world of outside of Eretz Yisrael, halacha l'maisa, in the broader sense of all Jews throughout the world, not so pasha. If you shalachem the next day, how's this going to work? If I want to be machne the lulav to my son, who's under bar mitzvah, I need it back the next day, second day, yom shalachem, lachet shalachem the rabban, I'm going to be in a pickle. That's the easy reason for why you need to buy your kid a lulav. The Taz says, you know why it's better to buy your kid a lulav? That way, we could both do not hold it for halal. That's the best you come up with. That's the best you can come up with. Because that way we could both hold a lulav for halal. Okay. But why did I say better? There's a real problem. Forget about halal. If I mock it to my son, he can't be mocking it back to me. So either I'm not going to have a shalachem tomorrow, or he won't have shalachem today. And again, it's not just the Taz didn't say that. The Taz said, I can't imagine what's bothering Marshal. The answer is obvious. And then he proceeds to give the second most obvious answer. Why do you give the most obvious answer? Probably because Taz holds. The most obvious answer is not just not obvious, it's not true. If you hold like the Ravon, it's perfectly legitimate to not really be machnet to your katan. There's no problem. If the Taz holds like the Ravon, we're sitting pretty. I don't have to be machnet to my son. He doesn't need shalachem. Chinuch, practice. He doesn't have to own it. And like the Ravon said, I'll just leave it there, he'll take it on his own. He won't actually be konet. And that's sufficient for chinuch. Yeah, but then it's like a good question. How come you need, why are you buying for your kid? And the best the Taz could come up with is, well, that way we could both hold it for halal. I imagine if you asked the Ritva or the Magen Avraham this question, they would say, of course it's a good idea to buy your kid a lulav. That way it's shalach, shalachem, you are shalachem, he is shalachem, we're all good to go. It sounds like that there is room to maneuver, not mukhrach, but it sounds like that this machlokas is a halach l'maisa on the page of Aruch, a machlokas of Avraham Taz. If you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah, Be'er Halacha, he has plenty to say line up Rishon on both sides of this issue. We're going to stop.